Well, certainly inspiring to see so many people here tonight, despite the challenging back roads and all the snow we've had this past weekend. Yesterday, of course, was a very interesting day. We had a wedding at 2 o'clock in the middle of that snowstorm. I looked out my window, and instead of a limo, in fact, the limo canceled on the bride, so she had to be driven in an SUV to the wedding. She got out of the car in her beautiful white wedding gown with snow boots on. The first time I had seen that. And then we had the 5:30 Mass last night. We had actually 100 people attended the Mass last night. I think they were all born and raised in upstate New York and drove four-wheel drive. Today at the 10:30 Mass, it was actually very well attended. It was the first time, though, that since the church opened, we actually had everybody got a seat at the 10:30 Mass today. And the fact that all of you are here tonight shows that you made a sacrifice. Most of you spent today digging out your driveways and getting your cars ready to be able to come to Mass, to worship the true King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So you made a sacrifice to be here, and very pleasing in the Lord's sight. Today in the Gospel, Our Lady also travels and makes a sacrifice. She leaves her home of Nazareth, and she also makes a journey. Just as you made a journey to be here, so Mary made a journey to her cousin, Saint Elizabeth. If you look at the scriptures tonight, you see that immediately after Mary said yes to God and the Son of God was conceived in Mary's womb by the power of the Holy Spirit, she immediately set out to take care of her elderly cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth and Zachary were advanced in age, well beyond childbearing years, and yet God heard their prayer, and they were blessed with a child. Elizabeth was now 6 months pregnant, and so Mary, her young, beautiful cousin, knew that she would need some assistance, and so she left her hometown of Nazareth and traveled about 60 miles south into the hill country of Judea. I'm sure St. Joseph went with her as well, because it would be unsafe for a woman to travel by herself in those days. It took about 4 to 6 days to get there. So Christ was in Mary's womb only about 6 days. A brand new life, only about 6 days old in Mary's womb. And so she's now carrying the Redeemer of the world, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Almighty God incarnate, in her womb. And then she comes into the house of Zechariah. Now, remember, Zechariah at this point was unable to speak because he was struck deaf and dumb by the angel Gabriel. Zechariah had been offering incense in the temple, and Gabriel came to him and said, you're going to bear a son, and you're going to name him John, and he'll prepare the way for the Messiah. Well, Zechariah doubted. Zechariah lacked faith. And what happened then was that the angel Gabriel said, you'll not be able to speak until all of this is fulfilled. And so Mary goes to visit Zechariah and Elizabeth. And it says that as soon as Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, as soon as she heard Mary's voice, the infant in her womb leaped for joy. See, this unborn babe, John the Baptist, was 6 months in his mother's womb. He was not able to speak, but as an unborn babe, he could use a different kind of language. We call it body language, okay? He leapt for joy when he heard that Mary was there and that the Messiah was in his presence. Isn't it beautiful to think that it was an unborn baby, the first one ever to recognize the presence of the Messiah was that unborn baby. And even though he was not able to speak, he did everything he could to leap for joy. That's the same word that is used in the Old Testament when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into the presence of King David, and David danced and leapt before the Ark of the Covenant. So now we have a prophet, John the Baptist, leaping for joy in his mother's womb, dancing for joy in his mother's womb at the presence of the new Ark of the Covenant, our Blessed Mother, carrying the new covenant, Jesus, in her womb. Remember, Jesus is the covenant between us and the Father. So here is the new covenant. And John leaps for joy. So we have such a beautiful passage today. It is what we call the mystery of the visitation, the meeting of the two mothers and the two unborn children. One, an elderly cousin, Elizabeth, a very holy woman, and Our Lady, the young, beautiful, immaculate conception. And then we have a six-day-old in the womb and a six-month-old in the womb. The two mothers and the two unborn children met. Every time we pray the rosary, the joyful mysteries, we meditate upon the mystery of the visitation. We even have a beautiful window, the visitation, on the right side as you leave Mass. Sometime when you're here during the day, when it's light out, take a look at the meeting of Mary and Elizabeth at the visitation. So we have this meeting of the two mothers and the meeting of Jesus and John the Baptist. And it says that John was, he leapt for joy and filled with the Holy Spirit. The Church reminds us it was at this point that John the Baptist was cleansed of original sin in his mother's womb. It's always been the tradition that at this moment, that's when, in a sense, John got baptized and had original sin washed away. 6 months in his mother's womb. This is what the angel Gabriel told Zechariah, that even from his mother's womb, this child would be filled with the Holy Spirit. So John, in a sense, was baptized in the womb by the presence of the Holy Spirit. In this beautiful mystery, we see Our Lady as the mediatrix of all graces. This beautiful title, which means that Jesus is the source of grace, Mary is the channel of grace. Jesus is Almighty God made man. Mary gave us Jesus, therefore she is the channel or the mediatrix of grace for us. We see that Our Lady brought Christ and Jesus sanctified his cousin, John the Baptist. And so Elizabeth is now filled with the Holy Spirit. She cries out in a loud voice. And this is where we get the Hail Mary from. As you know, the first part of the Hail Mary was Gabriel, when he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." The second part of the Hail Mary comes from today's Gospel. Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." So Mary is most blessed among all women. Notice that there was no envy, no jealousy on Elizabeth's part. She never said, "Why wasn't I the mother of the Messiah?" Elizabeth knew that she played her role too. She was to be the mother of John the Baptist, the one who would prepare the way for the Lord. She was never envious or jealous of her young cousin Mary, who gave birth to the Son of God. Elizabeth was so humble that she knew she played a part in God's plan. And the birth of her own child was miraculous. Elizabeth was well beyond childbearing age, and yet she and Zechariah conceived a son. So she thanked God for the gift of her son, and she now praises her young cousin and says, "You are blessed among all women." And this is why we call Mary the Blessed Mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Because out of all the millions of women that have ever lived or will ever live, Our Lady is the most blessed. Because she alone gave birth to the Son of God. And then, so Elizabeth praises Mary first and says, "Blessed are you among women." And then she praises Jesus. "Blessed is the fruit of your womb." And the Church has always upheld this statement of the Bible, that the fruit of Mary's womb, the fruit of every woman's womb, is sacred. It is holy. That the unborn child is always precious, always sacred, always holy. So the Bible says that the fruit of the womb is a blessing. So children are always a blessing from God. They're never a curse. They're never a burden. They're never a punishment. They are a blessing from Almighty God. That's what the inspired Word of God, the infallible Scriptures, tell us. Blessed is Mary among all women, and blessed is the fruit of the womb. So that's why the Catholic Church is the most pro-life church on the face of the earth. We respect the sanctity of all human life from the moment of conception until natural death. And remember, John the Baptist leapt for joy in his mother's womb. So the child in the womb can feel joy. The child in the womb can feel pain. The child in the womb is a living human being made in the image and likeness of God. So John leaps for joy in his mother's womb. And then Elizabeth says, "But who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Again, this idea in the Hail Mary, we say, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen." Elizabeth says, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord?" It's another word for, "Who am I that the mother of God should come to me?" Jesus Christ is Lord and God. Mary gave birth to Jesus Christ. We can truly call her the Mother of God. And then lastly, Elizabeth praises Mary and said, "Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you would be fulfilled." Unlike my brilliant husband over here who didn't believe, who struck deaf and dumb, you believed. And so she calls Mary this great woman of faith. Mary is a woman of faith. So we see in Scripture today that Mary is a woman of charity, a woman of service to visit her cousin Elizabeth. She's a woman of humility. She's the mediatrix of graces, the channel of graces to Elizabeth and to John, as well as to us in our lives. She's a woman of faith. So we should ask ourselves, what can we do to grow closer to our Blessed Mother? She is our spiritual mother. She wants to lead us to Christ. All the readings during Advent have been John the Baptist leading us to Christ. But the fourth Sunday of Advent is always Mary leading us to Christ. Our Lady brought Christ to John and to Elizabeth, and she brings Christ to us as well. Were it not for Mary saying yes, we would not have Jesus in our life. So we're called to be like our Blessed Mother, to bring Jesus to everybody that we meet. So Mary is our example, our model, and our mother. We should always entrust and consecrate ourselves to her, and then try to imitate her, and try to bring Jesus to everybody that we meet.